Hey folks, it's Brian Cook, your host here with a couple of words from this week's sponsor, Tis the Season by Jennifer Grayson. It's never too early to get into the holiday spirit. In the best-selling tradition of New York Times bestseller Belle Andre, Jennifer Grayson mixes some Christmas with the contemporary millionaire trend in Tis the Season. Join the annual Harrison family gathering in a fun twist on the boss-secretary pairing as the eldest, Charles Harrison III, tries to resist his growing romantic feelings towards his children's nanny, Lizette. Desperate to avoid another scandal like the one his divorce caused, Charles knows getting involved with Lizette is a risky move at the wrong time, but with the scent of holiday spices in the air, he can't help but be drawn to her tender, caring nature in such stark contrast to his cold ex-wife and unfeeling father. Okay, I guess he didn't want to fuck his father. With mistletoe hanging on practically every doorway, it's only a matter of time before Charles and Lizette find themselves caught under their spell. Discover the magic of love in Tis the Season by Jennifer Grayson, now available everywhere books are sold. More info at kensingtonbooks.com.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 170 of the Competitive Erotic Fanfiction Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Cook, and you've found the internet's number one most trusted source for Muppet boners and horny loners. Upcoming show includes October 16th at the Virgil in Los Angeles. We're there the third Sunday of every month. But today's show was recorded back on September 18th, 2016, also at the Virgil. This is round one featuring Derek Brown, Phoebe Bottoms, Haley Driscoll, and Jordan Dahl reading pieces they wrote in advance based upon topics of their choosing. Enjoy. All right, and please welcome your first round one competitor who's brought a prepared piece this evening, Mr. Jordan Dahl.
You gonna be there the whole time?
You've done this show like 10 times.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna apologize for a lot of what's about to be said. Just up front, I'm a bashful boy. This generally doesn't come out of me this way. Jimmy Fallon stares vacantly into the mirror. His makeup perfect, his hair stylishly mussed up, his suit neat and trendy. This face had come so far from that goofy kid who used to make him roar on SNL with his silly parody songs and his oh-so-cheeky breaks in the middle of sketches. This face has hosted the VMAs, the Emmys, and the goddamn fucking Tonight Show. And tonight, this face would suck Donald Trump's dick live on television. A timid rap on the dressing room door, a PA peeks in. Mr. Fallon, it's time. He sounds like he's apologizing. Jimmy nods. Oh, what? Yeah, okay. The door closes and Jimmy gives himself one last look. He puts on the lobster bib that Mr. Trump requested because, as he put it, it's gonna get buttery. He nods. This is it, Jimbo. Don't get scared now. The lights come up and the Roots launch into a saucy rendition of My Milkshake Brings All the Boys to the Yard. Jimmy takes the stage and the crowd goes wild. The entire Tonight Show set has been covered in a thin plastic tarp for the events to come. The crowd settles and Jimmy gets right into it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so glad you make it out tonight. Wow, this is an amazing event. His hands are trembling. Boy, I tell you, I always wanted to have dinner with Donald Trump, but this is ridiculous. The crowd laughs. They love it. Jimmy cracks a smile. The blend of anxiolytics and throat relaxers he took before the show are beginning to take effect. He swallows hard. Let's do this. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my guest for the night, and potentially next president of the United States, Mr. Donald Trump! The Roots strike up a jazzy version of Living in America as the curtain behind Jimmy slides open. There sits Trump in a solid gold throne, held aloft by four oiled-up beefcakes wearing only star-spangled banana hammocks and masquerade-style eagle masks. Trump himself wears a toga of golden silk and a comically oversized crown made of antlers and leaves. He waves to the ravenous throng as his eagle men walk the throne forward and set it down center stage. A hush falls over the crowd. One of the eagle men places a silken pillow on the ground before him. At least there's that, Jimmy thinks. At least there's that. Trump claps and the eagle men retreat into the shadows. He looks Jimmy straight in the eyes and speaks. Jimmy, I like you. You're a great guy. You're a good guy. But I'm gonna wreck that pretty little joke hole of yours. The crowd laughs. And because I like you so much, my asshole is now in play. They laugh again. Even Jimmy breaks a little and gives an okay sign to the camera. They love it. Trump gestures to the pillow and Jimmy kneels. Trump parts his robe and reveals what lies beneath. His genitals are a roadmap of horrors. A seeping orange area festooned with twitching carbuncles and thick orange bristles that lend it a strange undersea quality. No testicles. Trump grunts slightly and a purple barb roughly the size of a golf pencil pierces through the mass. A trickle of yellow blood running down his thigh. He nods at Jimmy, and Jimmy closes his mouth around the prong. The Roots break out into Mambo Number 5 with reworked lyrics. A little bit of politics in my mouth. Jimmy, always the consummate professional, fights the urge to recoil as the stinging hairs around Trump's penile barb begin to dig into his flesh. Never let him see you cry, Jimbo. He fillets the spike like a hungry baby calf sucking the dust from the teat of its long-dead mother. Trump giggles and screams. It is unclear whether or not this hurts him as well. Jimmy chances a hand under Trump's buttocks in search of the presidential hopeful's asshole. From the audience's perspective, it appears that something back there grabs Jimmy's arm and pulls it up in up to the elbow. Jimmy doesn't make a sound. He is miles away, goofing around with Tina Fey on Weekend Update all those years ago. This goes on for hours. The Roots play through an entire Bruce Springsteen album, a Smash Mouth medley, and Beck's Mellow Gold in its entirety. Finally, at 2 hours and 48 minutes, Trump stiffens and shrieks in pain as he releases a load of whatever fluid his hideous genitals produce deep into Jimmy's hungry throat. Jimmy swallows as much as he can, but ultimately the thick substance spills from his mouth onto the tarp. It has the consistency of hot tapioca and scabs. And is a color that is impossible to grasp. The color of screams, the color of despair. The crowd gasps, my God, what is that? Semen? Eggs? Only Jimmy knows for sure. The smell hits the crowd and they scream in unison. Sheer animal panic takes them and they turn on one another, rending each other's clothes and flesh in a mad dash toward the exits. The Roots have a merciful death. Having been closest to the incident, they are turned immediately to stone. Jimmy lifts his face from between the Republican candidate's knees. His face is covered in welts and his eyes are swollen shut from the stings. He swallows most of his slowly dissolving teeth and looks into Mr. Trump's eyes. Through blistered lips, he whispers, "Can I mess up your hair?" Trump looks down on the co-star of Fever Pitch and considers him with kind eyes. "Oh, my boy. My brave, beautiful boy. No."
Jordan Dahl. Give it over to Derek Brown. All the way to that microphone for Derek Brown. You guys can do it. There it is.
Nothing is better than the color of screams. Champion. All right, so some of you may know the movie Chinatown, but before it was a movie, it was a novella series called Dirty Chinatown. And I looked around for some of the books, and I found one called Crime Jazz, The Story of Dirty Chinatown, and I'm just going to read some of it from the novella series. This one's from a chapter called The Story of Little Benny Blue Jeans. And if you're a fan of Chinatown, you might see some of the origins linked to this novella. Begins through the broken windows of the presidential Mexican-themed bar, LBJ. The saxophone outside unraveled the sky. The night came down like an anvil, like a goddamn anvil. At the end of the dive bar sits a man so handsome, little golden songbirds have been drowning each other upon sight, softly whistling, "We never knew beauty." The gods must have been well rested the day they chiseled the well-pottered grill of little Benny Blue Jeans, middle-aged, subtle hunk, hiding his abs behind his beer storage and slimming black t-shirts. Maybe in his 30s, can't tell. Probably 40s if I was a gambling man, but I'm not. I'm just letters on a page. His cheeks are a bit jacked from loving the retro feel of a straight razor, but not ever reading any instructions. His shoulders heavy from hauling a darkness that comes from the thrill of constant love loss, but the goddamn body remains. Benny nurses a scotch harder than Florence Nightingale. Slow, semi-smooth jazz wafts through the whiffing and swoofing poofy puff puffs of smoke in the bar. Benny plops down onto a stool. His stool, goddammit. His stool. Benny says, "My stool." The bartender, Bobby Two Slacks, never offers water. He smacks a glass down on the oak bar top. Bobby Two Slacks' refined accent made Benny feel at home.
"You having the same, bub?"
"If you mean shit, yes, Bobby. Same shit."
Yeah, and different day.
It is different. It's different every day. Every day intrinsically different, Bobby. Downright diverse. 24 hours of pure disparate variation.
You could say that again, boss.
Wish I could, Bobby, but it'd be different. A little different.
Damn, you and your poetry, boss. Ugh.
And Benny notices a skinny, spectacled man in a leather overcoat drinking alone at the end of the bar, side glancing back at Benny, pretending to read the paper. Benny said, "Don't like a man who won't look at you when you walk in a place. I don't love nothing breathing. I do love blue jeans, though. I hate stamps you don't have to lick, sandals on stuffed animals, and some bugs." This city is overbooked with all that jazz. There are blue eyes flashing in the streetlights above. They like to watch little Benny. They want to come and try to take the mountain down. I say, "Bring the TNT, sister. I'll be sitting right here with your dance car." A saxophone cuts through the haze of fog outside. It is played poorly. A gorgeous woman who is walking like she is not a virgin enters the room. She is so hot, it's weird. She plops down next to Benny, pulls out two cigarettes. Her name is Who Gives a Fuck. Say, mister. Don't even ask, sister. If I wanted to smoke, you'd be on fire already. Right between your little baby legs. Ooh, I can make you burn down there. I do beg your pardon, both smokes are for me. See, I'm an addict and I'm greedy. My name's Clatrisa. Ah, a woman who loves her excess. I can't think of better ways to die than in double time. Did you say your name is Clarissa? Clatrisa. It's German for seeing trees full of fat clits. Maybe I was born to like pleasure, but I haven't found the right size yet, so I gotta double up until the right size comes along. Are you talking about a person's human dick or something else? Let's cut the rat trap, Blue Jeans. I'm gonna make you an offer you could refuse, but won't want to, even if you could refuse the offer and then did not. Hold up, starting gate, hold your horses. First off, nice bike. I didn't come here on a bike, silly. I don't even have a bike. Well, you sure are about to peddle me some real dumbass ideas. I can smell it. Clatrissa smiles, takes a big fat drag of her double-barreled cigarette, blows it in his weird, useless, super chopped up face. What a walking funeral pyre. What a great dame. A real dime piece in a sea of wooden nickels. I remember her now. I remember we fucked on each other once. And I was real bad. I had taken Novocaine for a root canal, and I did not tell her. And I tried going down on her. And what do the French say? They say it's hard to mess up a mess. But I sure as hell did. I faded away with the scum underground from the shame and possible lawsuit. I told her I owed her one and then vanished like a national park. Ooh, little Benny Blue Jeans, you're staring at my lips. I can tell you remember me. You miss me, don't you? Now kiss me. I'd hate to jack those up too, sister. Hey, you didn't know what you were doing down there. It's okay, I'm sure it happens all the time to dogs. I chewed your labs like bubble gum and I regret it. You cannot understand the pain I feel from doing that. Well, it sounds like you're out of the game, Blue Jeans. I guess I'll take my wares and money elsewhere. I guess you hate justice and don't want to hear my story. I'm saying, what makes me qualified anymore now that I've been stripped of my badge, dignity, self-respect, and ability to love? I've been in the dregs for years, years, I tell you, years. Because, Benny, I know you. You've been in the gutter, you've known the royal underworld like it's family, and you made your way out. My sister's been kidnapped, and I need you. You can get inside. The skin doctor's got her. They're princes, they adore you. You don't say. It's what I say now. They sent me a ransom letter, look. And that's her in the photo. Let me see. Dear Clatriza, spelling. If you do not give us $4,500, you will never see your beloved sister Gazonga again. In fact, we currently have her hooked on giving blowjobs. See pic below. God damn it, motherfucking shit. Hot fucking ass piece of wet. Fuck world class sucking wall bag gagging. Tote bag of shit sucking motherfucking ass fuck. That's it, Benny. Awaken your anger. Awaken that famous phrase. Blue Jeans, prepare to rage. No, I'm just mad because I'm realizing I left my house without the phone. You gotta help me, Benny, please. I'll do anything. They already turned her into a blowjob addict. Who knows what's next? Cruel world. Cruel, cruel world. I don't know if I have the nuts to go back underground. It's a whole hell of a lot of hell. Time's running out, Benny. Please don't let her die of an exhausted throat. Please, oh, goddamn. You're not half of some of the man you were anymore. Clatrissa leaves the bar in a Ford Huff. Benny Blue Jeans says, Clatrissa, wait. But she has gone into the night like a good-looking father. Benny notices the spectacled man reading his paper at the end of the bar. The spectacled man reading his newspaper, nervous. Benny Blue Jeans stands and says, barkeep, I gots to piss.
Always with the poetry, Blue Jeans.
Benny goes to the bathroom, mumbling to himself, pissing. What's up, nuts? Outside the bathroom window, Gazonga appears, the beautiful sister of Clatrissa, the kidnapped sister. Gazonga is frenetic and dirty outside the bathroom window. Benny, little Benny Blue Jeans, is that you? I'm a fan. If you want to see my tools, toots, you can either dress as a pair of blue jeans for Halloween or something else. Now scram. Gazonga forces open the window, grabbed Benny's shoulder, spun him around, and kissed him so hard he could see how she was going to die. Help me! I'm Gazonga! My sister, Clatrissa, is trying to kill you, Benny, and she's sending you into a trap. You gotta get out of here! There's a man from the skin doctors that has diamonds in his... Ah, shit! Gazonga's abducted from the back and whisked away into the night. What the frick is going on? The bathroom door begins to jiggle. It's jiggling from the outside. It's jiggling faster and harder, jiggling, jiggling. And Benny says, hold on a second, pal. I'm spiraling in here. You need to piss real bad?
Yes, I need to piss very badly.
Benny rips off a towel holder from the wall and in his other hand a roll of toilet paper, the door bulging. He says, well, come on in, motherfucker. I don't know if you're British, but I'm about to take the piss out of you. Blue jeans prepare to rage. And the door to the bathroom bursts open and they fight for a long time. Ooh, ah, ooh, ooh, ah, ooh. Ah, ah, ooh, hands, ooh, ah, ooh, ooh. And a sax plays as one man emerges from the bathroom. And the man heads back to his stool, and he looks at his jeans exhausted, and the jeans whisper to him, we're in, motherfucker. We're in. Thank you.
Derek Brown. Keep it going for Haley Driscoll.
Hi. Hey. All right. Here we go. On January 31st, 2013, a 21-year-old Cantonese woman attending the University of British Columbia in Vancouver was declared missing. On February 19th, 20 days later, they found her body in the water tower atop the Hotel Cecil in downtown Los Angeles, California. After several customers had complained that the water was discolored, funny smelling, and tasted like a dead Cantonese woman attending the University of British Columbia. The investigators were puzzled as the doors leading up to the water tower were heavily locked. The opening of the water tower was too small for a human body to fit into, and the only evidence they found leading up to the death was 10 minutes of the most eerie elevator security cam footage ever, which somehow ended up on the internet because of course it did. You people are monsters. And the LAPD doesn't give a shit about you. This woman's name, as some of you know, is Elisa Lam. Or Lam Ho Yi in Cantonese. R.I.P. For those of you who are fortunate enough to have never seen this disturbing video of Elisa, terrified and confused moments before her awful and still unsolved murder, here's a little reenactment.
At this point in the show, Haley acts out the Elisa Lam video for an extended period of time because she's a spaz.
Now is it? It's available on YouTube?
It's going to be great on the podcast.
I thought about that. Definitely thought about that. About a month ago, I discovered a film that many would claim to be equally as, if not more, disturbing than the Elisa Lam elevator footage. Ghostbusters. The all-girl reboot. Starring Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Leslie Jones, and Kate McKinnon. Now, before this movie, I had been under the impression that penises were obviously an integral part of the ghost hunting process. No? But no! After seeing Kate McKinnon lick those guns, I became insatiable for the paranormal. I left that theater inspired. There was no way I was turning back. I was going to avenge Elisa Lam. I immediately invested in the most cutting-edge paranormal equipment available to women. a 4,000 kilowatt ectoplasmic vibrator with a detachable, retractable, plasmic, seeking anal stimulation rod. Always go for the any. That's what my grandma always said. I never knew what she meant till just then. A pair of extra spooky ghost goggles, a dental demon dam, and something called a French shriekler. I didn't know what it was for, but I was sure I was going to find out. Where were you that night? Why were you there, Elisa? What happened to you? Who were you with? Where do we go when we die? Where the fuck are my keys? These were all questions I was asking as I walked into the infamous lobby of the Hotel Cecil that night. The very place where ruthless serial killer and rapist known as the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez, stayed in 1985. The bloodthirsty prostitute, exclusive serial killer, Jack Underberger. And countless respectable politicians for an hour or two to get a handy or a BJ from one of the prostitutes that would probably later be murdered by Jack Underwood. And of course, Elisa Lam. I approached the concierge and booked my room, specifically requesting room number 7 on the 5th floor, carefully specifying to him where that girl died, you know? The room that the girl was staying in when they found her body in the water tower? They were not swayed by my request, nor my use of hard facts. I ended up staying on floor number 9, which was fine. But for some reason, I already felt unwelcome there. I grabbed my door key, and immediately as I turned to walk to my room, I saw it, the elevator. I froze up. Something inside of me in the pit of my stomach lurched as if to say, this feels unsafe. But I ignored it, as I often ignore my female intuition. It's as if I'd been training for this day since puberty. And then at that very moment, my phone's custom alert ringtone alarm of Kate McKinnon saying, "Booyah!" Emphasis on the boo. From Ghostbusters, the all-girl reboot. It went off. That meant it was time. 11:23 p.m. The exact time Elisa Lam's security footage started. And I knew it was go time. I repeated, "Booyah!" Emphasis on boo, boo. Into the echoing chambers of the lobby. I took a deep breath and approached the entrance to the elevator. I laid down my suitcases, opened them up, and began suiting up with my new ghost hunting equipment. Demon dental dam, check. Ectoplasmic vibrator, check. Retractable plasma-seeking anal stimulation rod, check. And of course, the French shriekler. I took one step closer, pressed the up button, just as the up button, as Elisa Lam did that fateful night. And shakingly, I whispered, "I ain't afraid of no ghosts. I ain't afraid of no ghosts." I felt the elevator approaching. The tension was growing, as was my female intuition. As it got closer, I sang the Ghostbusters theme song to myself urgently and rapidly, over and over, like a prayer to guide me into the unknown paranormal world. Who are you gonna call? I'm gonna call Ghostbusters. Who are you gonna call? I'm gonna call Ghostbusters. To my simultaneous relief and dismay, the elevator stopped at the 2nd floor before hitting the lobby. I screamed, "Fuck!" into the hallway and into the lobby. And at that moment, I heard a pair of squeaky shoes approaching me to the left. Could this be it? I thought to myself. Ma'am? Excuse me, ma'am? A voice emitted from my peripheral vision. I turned to see a sweaty, exhausted, plump security guard waddling in my direction. My fists clenched the anal probe, seething with rage. Where were you when Elisa Lamb was murdered? I thought to myself and also said out loud. Excuse me, ma'am, he replied like a total fucking dipshit. By the time he reached me, the elevator door slid open. I picked up my suitcases and equipment and rushed inside, hiding behind the door, much like Elisa Lamb did that night 3 years ago. I slammed the fifth door button with my ectoplasmic vibrator. However, the elevator didn't budge. Frantically, I pressed floor number 9, floor number 10, 11, 12, 13, all the floors, similar to Elisa, but it didn't move. I saw my life reeling before my eyes, replayed it as if on security cam footage, as I'm sure Miss Lamb experienced as well. I attempted to step out of the elevator, but that shitty, fat security guard was blocking my way, still repeating, ma'am, 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 over and over like a fucking idiot. I began having a panic attack, as people like Elisa Lamb and myself are prone to do. And I realized he didn't understand me. He didn't understand me or Elisa, and my vision turned red. Like the sweater Elisa Lamb was wearing in the footage on YouTube. I panicked, I freaked out, I couldn't remember what happened, but all of a sudden, I was unfurling 4,000 kilowatts of my ectoplasmic vibrator directly into that blubbering mouth hole of his. His teeny tiny security guard peeny expanded to the size of a swollen elephant's peeny. I was shocked at what I'd done and the pure horror of it all. Then something came over me. A dark, maniacal presence took hold of me. I don't know how, but I knew it was Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker. He was with me. He was inside of me, using my body, which was using the ectoplasmic vibrator to destroy a minimum wage security guard employee at the worst hotel in LA. I tried to pull it away, but it was too late. I was laughing maniacally, like a rapist. My possessed arms then proceeded to detach the detachable, retractable, plasma-seeking anal stimulation rod. The security guard began to cry. He wanted a larger penis and to eventually experiment with ass play, but not like this. Not like this. I tried to regain control of my body, but I'd been so used to giving up my female intuition and conforming to society, I realized I didn't know how. And that's when I heard it. My reminder alarm, which was Kate McKinnon saying, "Booyah, emphasis on the boo," repeated itself. And I remembered that women can hunt ghosts. And just because we have wet, soppy pussies doesn't mean we are the derogatory meaning of pussies. And I had watched helplessly as these thoughts built up in my head, observing myself anally probing an unfortunate man getting his butthole invaded by a cute blonde girl he'd never done anything to. But as my haunted Night Stalker hand reached for the ultimate weapon, the French screechler, I regained control and I whispered, "Who are you gonna call?" I could feel the demonic spirit reply confusedly, "Who?" And immediately after his reply, I tore the plasma stimulation rod from my own hand and shoved it directly through my hazmat suit right into my anus. Ah! Ghostbusters! I replied, and I knew that my grandma was there with me. I shouted in my grandma's voice somehow, "Always go for the anus!" And after my voice was exhausted, a gigantic swarm of gnats flew out of my mouth, shaped like a giant flaccid dick. I grabbed the French shrinkler from the ground as if suddenly, instinctually, I knew how to use it and threw it up into the swarm. An explosion of progesterone and lunabar shrapnel went everywhere. I stood for a moment. The swarm of flaccid gnat dicks disappeared into the air. I sighed the biggest sigh of relief I could exhale and said, "You're welcome, Elisa." Then I picked up my suitcases and equipment, walked over the dead body of that poor security guard, and left the doors of the Hotel Cecil, proud to be a woman, and proud to finally hunt ghosts. And although we may never know how to protect ourselves from actual alive men, at least we can now hunt ghosts.
Haley Driscoll. Give you up for your final round, one competitor, Phoebe Bonds.
Do 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 do. Do 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 do. Hi, welcome back. I'm certainly glad you could join me today. I thought today we'd just get a little down and dirty and do a fantastic little painting of a pretty valley. The colors we'll be using are at the bottom of your screen. I have my regular old canvas up here, and as you know, we paint on a wet canvas to help spread those colors. So go ahead and rub that surface down with some water and liquid white, so it's completely wet and ready to go. While you're at it, why don't you give yourself a little rub down too? Not too wet now, just maybe flick that bean a little. Get some of those juices flowing. So let's have some fun today. So now that we're all slick and wet and ready to go, let's get started. Let's just have a good time. Let's spread a little yellow ochre on there, and we'll go right up here with that for the sky. That's a great color, isn't it? It's probably the color of some of your vibrant, pretty thighs. Big or small, it doesn't matter. Personally, I like a little meat on a woman's bones. But that's just me. I just like a little pocket of fat welcoming me into your loose meat sandwich. There we go. And don't worry if something doesn't go exactly right. There's no such thing as a mistake. Just having little accidents. So just make hard little crisscrosses with your brush, just like that. I do that with my pecker sometimes. Just tug it around in all directions like I'm painting the sky. Sometimes I do that with co-eds. Men too. It's all the same to me. We're all just God's little creatures. God's beautiful, sensual little snatch badgers. I have several brushes going. I'm going to take a clean brush now and just blend it and soften it. It doesn't scream at you. It just sits there. I'll scream for you if you want me to. I was a first sergeant in the U.S. Air Force, and boy, I do a lot of yelling. Swore I'd stop when I got out, but I'm a sport. If you want me to break you down or yell things about your mom into your ear, well, I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to do just about anything. Well, almost anything. I probably wouldn't let you step on my little danglers. They're sensitive little walnuts, but they're mine, and I like them. I also like this painting. It's making me happy. And it should make you happy too. Now I'm going to take a little touch of the phthalo blue and green, and maybe we'll have a little water down here. I can feel a little water down there myself. I'm a leaker. Some folks call it pre-cum. I like to call it the dew of anticipation. Let's get some action in here. I'm going to take a bit of Alsarian crimson, a very, very small amount, just a dab. Jab the tip of your brush in that crimson. I like to dab the tip of my brush into your crimson when you're on your monthlies. Some people think that's unsavory. I don't mind it. Makes a nice natural lubricant. Just one of God's wonderful ideas. Just wonderful. So take that crimson and just warm that sky up a little. Now let's go into the midnight black. I haven't even washed this brush yet. Let's go up there and just mingle that with the liquid white. All red, white, and blue mushed together like that. I like to see that. Different colors and different people wound all up together in a clam bake. Different folks with different backgrounds just lending each other's experience as a unified cock squad. Maybe they touch tips sometimes just to say, hello, friend. I'll tell you what. While I'm doing this, because this is going to take a second, I want to show you one of my little characters that's living with me now. I have three baby squirrels that I'm just raising, and they are the cutest little devils. And we took a little video of them. They're just babies, and these little rascals are hungry continuously, so I thought I'd just show you how we feed them. To do that, we take a little dropper of formula and just make a little path of food right up the back of my leg there. Just making a neat little path up to my asshole. Isn't that cute? They all follow each other up there. The little devils. See them just nibble on my soil slot? Wonderful. Sometimes I put a little bit of seed or corn in the lobby and see if they'll root around up there. With their little hands. Feels good having them scratch and paw around down there. Boy, well, I'm doing this. It reminds me. I wanted to tell you about this young friend of mine that I just that is just unreal. His name is Earl Glenn Russell from Springfield, and he is a fantastic little painter. Only 9 years old. I had the pleasure of having dinner one night with Earl and his mother. Well, by the time the breadbasket arrived, she and I were in the handicapped restroom making a clam pump out of my meat needle. It was just neat. A couple weeks later, she called saying we had made a happy little accident. I always say we don't make mistakes, but in this case, we had to take some paint thinner to the canvas. Sometimes I think about what a great painter he or she may have been. But that's okay. There we go. We'll just take a little more of that alien green and top off that foothill. Tap in a few highlights. I think we've got a pretty nice little painting here, and we're just about out of time, but boy, has it been real nice playing around with you today. And I hope you've had a nice time playing around with yourself also. Go ahead and send me some pictures of your finished paintings. Maybe you have other pictures or objects you'd like to send me as well. I'd sure appreciate it. From all of us here, I'd like to wish you happy painting, and God bless, my friend. Thank you.
Phoebe Bottoms. Phoebe, you can stay right here. Let me get everybody from round one back to the stage. There they are. All right, momentarily, you guys are going to be voting on a winner. First, I'm just going to remind you of what everybody read. Where is Haley? She's coming. All right. We started with Jordan Dahl with Jimmy Fallon and Donald Trump, then Derek Brown with Chinatown, Haley Driscoll with Elisa Lam, and Phoebe Bottoms with Bob Ross. Pick a favorite with your applause, starting with Jordan Dahl, Fallon, and Trump. Derek Brown, Chinatown. Haley Driscoll, Elisa Lam. And Phoebe Bottoms, Bob Ross. I believe that's your round one champion, Phoebe Bottoms. Big round of applause for all your round one competitors.
That does it for round one. To hear round two, you can download episode 171 in 2 weeks. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes. And for details on upcoming shows, you can follow me on Twitter at Brian Cooking or the show at CE Fanfic. See you next time.
Nerdist.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.